My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How okay. was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia. So today, Anda Ganska from Notch, she's the co-founder and CEO. So she really kicks us off into a conversation that we've been having, I think, in a lot of ways, more implied. And Laura and I have been talking a lot about dipping our toe into shark-infested waters, maybe just jumping into shark-infested waters around the data and analytics topic and what it really means for marketers, what it means for media, what it means around insights forward and data back, because we're so focused on benchmarks that don't mean anything today. We've created kind of these false indicators.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, as data becomes democratized or commoditized and everybody has their first party set, their third party set, how they're translating that into
their matching set.
How they're translating that into dashboards and insights and, you know, what's the right talent that you should have at the table? Are they analysts? Are they scientists? Are they engineers? You know, it's interesting. We've had everybody from brands to publishers to agency executives on this show talking about what data means to their business. And I think what's interesting and what you were just alluding to is that we're an industry that continually looks for the standardization. Why?
Why?
And I think what we're going to hear from Anda is that there isn't actually a one-size-fits-all solution and that the KPIs or indicators from the brands that she's working with are very indicative of the fact that maybe there shouldn't be. And so what works for your business? How do you move the bottom line? How do you understand your consumer? And should you be looking for the same consumer persona or profile that your competitor is? she might suggest probably not.
And she may suggest that your competitor may create this content. Actually, you should be over here on the complete other side creating another piece of content or a whole content program.
Yeah, and I think as an industry, we talk a lot, obviously, as data as an output. And I think what Onda is going to talk a bit about today is where it becomes an input, right? And how understanding, as she'll call it, system one versus system two, which is a very articulate way that she'll talk about emotion versus the analytical side, is a really interesting filter for, I think, about how we try to jam everything together, but really the importance of allowing them to live independently to come to direction or a decision in your marketing.
So put on your scuba suit. We'll be back with Onda Gonska from Notch.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant. Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back in the studio with the founder and CEO of Notch, Anda Ganska.
Welcome, Anda.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Pronouncing my name right.
So you're from Transylvania?
Yes, I am.
I love it.
Very lovely place. A lot friendlier than you would think. Born and raised, grew up there, became very good at math early on. Kind of like a celebration of all Eastern European stereotypes. I was really, really good at math and a very good ballroom dancer. So from Eastern Europe, right? You're supposed to be a ballerina and a computer scientist. So I'm just saying I kind of fit into the stereotype.
And how do you have time to do anything else?
Well, now I don't dance anymore. I just do the nerd stuff.
So, Anda, tell us about Notch. It's about 4 years old?
Yes.
How did you get started? What was the forest through the trees that you saw? And how has that company evolved?
Yeah, so we got started by not being at all focused on marketing. I initially was really obsessed with figuring out how people felt in real time about something. I was trying to figure out what are the kind of big missing data sets about humans online. And I realized that there wasn't a very good way to collect feedback. Surveys were really crappy consumer products. No one wanted to engage with them. And as such, there was this big missing data set of how people actually felt about stuff. And so I set out initially to build a consumer product that people would want to engage with, something that was elegant, simple, frictionless, an action that you could do within your attention span, which is about 6 seconds, and something that you'd really enjoy engaging with because, you know, human beings are very judgmental creatures. We have opinions. It's just a matter of having the right product to get them to share that opinion. So we built something. It really worked. You know, surveys get around a 0.01% response rate. We were getting 20% on average. And the exponential increase in response rate meant that we could get a lot of data at scale about how people feel, which then we started thinking, who cares about this data? And we had all sorts of assumptions around it. At the time, we were in Silicon Valley still, which is where we got started. And I started traveling to New York, meeting with a bunch of different people. And one of the first marketers I ever met was someone that Alexa knows really well, Beth Comstock. And thank God I met with her because, you know, as we all know, she's this incredible, you know, legend marketer in our space who sees innovation and manages to kind of pinpoint and had lifted up for everyone else to see. And that's exactly what she did for us. So with time, we kind of went from just tracking how people felt to then using our technology to track everything else about a person, behavior, demographic data, literally everything. So we kind of blended what someone says about themselves and what their behavior says about them into kind of a more holistic version of themselves. And then we started working with, you know, all the big financial brands, all the big auto brands, all the big telco brands, and we kind of are on our way to becoming a standard for how content in particular, ROI, is measured.
So wait, when you started, you weren't working with brands. What were you measuring in terms of people's feelings and perceptions of things?
Great question. So we were working with editorial teams. We were measuring, we were measuring the response of people to topics that editorial content was about. But as you can imagine, we realized that one, you know, by and large, creators don't love being told what data says, right? And this is a generalization that might not be true today, but it definitely was about 3 years ago. And two, there wasn't a lot of money in selling creative sentiment type of data to creators. And so we started taking a step back and thinking, what's the best go-to-market here? And we realized that marketers were becoming content creators, aka content marketing was on the rise, still is, and that they needed a better way to measure it, because all the standards for display advertising like Moat and Integral Ad Science were not really doing the job.
So I don't think it's a surprise, actually, that you have a artistic creative side as a former ballroom dancer, because one of the things that I have always been impressed by your product is the aesthetic of this online survey, yeah, if you will, and the sort of creativity that went into that 20% engagement rate output, right? Mm-hmm. So can you talk about how you blended art and science to create an online survey that could engage consumers in a way that isn't just a X out?
Totally. So we kind of left off from the idea that surveys were not very engaging consumer products and started asking ourselves why. We realized that there's two issues. The first was the context. Usually surveys are targeted to you in a disruptive way. They kind of pop up, or they're sent to you via email 2 days later. By then, you know, in today's world, we're so ADD that you have no idea what happened 2 days ago. So it's really kind of a disruptive context in both cases, right? So we realized that it has to be at the end of an experience, and ideally an immersive experience, not a transactional one like a display ad. And therefore, we realized that content was not only a winning mechanism for brands to tell their story and engage with audiences, but also a really good way to get someone to share their feedback. The second piece was the methodology. As it turns out, you know, if you believe that the brain has kind of like system one, system two, as it turns out, you know, system one is where we have kind of store feelings or analyze feelings. When you smile, I know exactly how you're feeling because, you know, it's in system one. I don't have to think about it. But if you ask me how much is 7 times 47, I go into system two, which is the analytical brain. Now, surveys, what they do is they ask you to convert something that lives in system one, which is a feeling, into a percentage or a number or multiple choice, which automatically sends you in system two. Therefore, there's a massive friction and people don't tend to express that feeling. So what we did is we basically said, let's create a really intuitive design. Let's take a universal metaphor. And this is, I think, where we really kind of hit the nail on the head. Because universal metaphors are something you learn between 0 and 4, regardless of whether you're from Transylvania or from California or Nebraska. There you go. And we realize that temperature is one of them. So if you present someone with a temperature scale, they automatically know what to do with it without having to think about it.
Visual temperature. Yeah. So exactly. Cold, hot, a slider.
Yes, and we realize that it also gives us, as like data nerds, it gives us the ability to create granularity, because you could have as many scales to that temperature as you want. So you could have really granular feeling, you could enable people to quickly answer a question without thinking about it, and you could enable them to have a really positive experience as opposed to making them feel like they've had to spend minutes figuring out how they actually feel. Mm. You just give them a really easy and rewarding way to share that feeling.
So it's like they want to actually share their feedback.
They do.
That's.
I mean, this is kind of the premise on which we build the company, is that human beings, I mean, I say judgmental, but, you know, and like scientifically speaking, we wouldn't be able to survive unless we made judgments all the time. So, you know, I do believe that we're very opinionated and we do want to share that feeling. But the methods in which we are given that opportunity today are what, Twitter and Facebook. We have to sit there and write 140 characters. It takes me like an hour to do that every time I try to do it. So yeah, we gave people a much more frictionless, easy way to do it.
And what kind of surveys or what kind of questions are you asking for brands? Is it, you know, around brand sentiment, like that high level? Is it around products? What are the types of things that you're actually going out there for brands and asking consumers?
So taking just a quick step back, I think the bigger question is, how do brands think of content marketing success? I realize that when it comes to display, I mean, not to discredit any of the products that have done so well in the market, but measuring display is a little bit more binary. The ad has either been seen or not, or clicked on or not, right? But when it comes to content, people just have very different definitions of success, but they tend to gravitate towards 5 big categories. Sentiment's one of them, or attitude rather. engagement, impressions, social, and conversion. So what we do now is we capture all those five categories and we try to work with the brand to understand what their custom version of success is and then create custom scores that help them kind of force rank every single content investment to see what's performing the best in real time. But when it comes to the kind of upper funnel goals, because I've kind of described upper funnel to lower funnel, right? I would say it also kind of depends on what the brand is really after. So we can ask any question, whether it's intent to purchase or brand loyalty or perception of brand innovation or brand love, brand awareness. I mean, it really kind of depends. And that's the beauty of this universal metaphor, that it is that it kind of enables you to ask any type of question as opposed to emojis or the thumbs up, thumbs down, which only really gives you a limited range of responses.
If brands aren't using Notch, what are they using?
So quickly kind of leads me to the other thing that really stand for, which is transparency. We realized when we came into the market that when brands work with agencies then kind of pay, let's say, 10 different distribution channels. And then those distribution channels are actually the ones that pay data companies to measure their own performance. So say at the level of the distribution channel, you find a combination of a few different companies, Moat, you know, Google Analytics sometimes, Simple Reach, Nudge. There's a bunch of different analytics companies that sell to distribution channels. But the problem is
this is click attribution still, though, in a lot of ways, right? I mean, Moat isn't, but like it's front end. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of depth or variety in the type of data that is collected. But the problem is twofold. If you're allowing as a brand, I mean, you used to be the head of media, right? So if you're allowing your distribution channels to grade their own homework, they're not going to give themselves a B. So, you know, you end up as a head of media, not only do you get good news by the time it gets to you, it's like, oh my God, you've done great. Keep spending money with us. But the other problem is that you're allowing the distribution channels to spend all this money that you gave them on duplicate measurement. So what we came to brands and said was, we're not going to monetize from any distribution channel because we want to be, you know, Switzerland. We want you to be our master, and we're going to represent your interests when we go and measure on your behalf across all these different channels. So we kind of centralized that data, the data collection, essentially, not just the data reporting. And as such, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of competition in that space. I haven't heard of any startup that said, I will actively try not to make money from 2/3 of the market. You know, right. It's kind of like a pretty crazy bold thing to do.
On the how, as an industry, do we need to shake things up when it comes to data? There have been standards of metrics that have been in place since I've been in the industry that don't seem to keep pace with the change of technology, with the types of advertising or non-advertising that brands are going to market with. You know, I laugh a lot about this idea of having to duct tape together measurement reports because there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. And there's nothing that allows me to see front to back. But yet we kind of chase to the lowest common denominator and say this was a success because X number of people engaged with something.
Yeah.
What's your long-term dream vision for how we piece those things together?
So I think the biggest shift that needs to happen is that CMOs and marketing teams need to understand the power that they have in demanding that they are able to collect first-party data across every single spend that they do. I don't care if it's offline, online. I don't care if it's podcast or digital marketing, display advertising. It doesn't matter. They should understand that they are able to request that they get independent data reporting. Now, what this will do is twofold. First, it's going to declutter all the mess that's happening right now with all these different distribution channels measuring their own performance. It's also going to hopefully remove the need for these massive data aggregators. Like you have, including Datarama, right, that got acquired by Salesforce. They are an amazing platform and they do incredible work with AI and putting together all these different data sets. But why do we allow people to report their own data sets? Like, why do we allow people to bring an apple and a giraffe and ask then Datarama to put the two together and make sense of them? But imagine if you had $10 million and you put $1 million across 10 different channels and you said, guess what? I'm going to put my own pixel on all of this and I'm going to get the data in the format that I want, the timeline that I want, and I'm going to make sense of it because now I can control the kind of collection of it, right? So when you control the collection and the formatting of it, making sense of it is really easy. Like as a data scientist, I can tell you 90% of the job of a data scientist is cleaning data sets and making them talk to each other.
But should they? Hold on. But should it be? That's a problem in the industry right now, by the way. The problem, one of the biggest problems in the industry, in my opinion, is that data scientists are actually people who need to be innovating and be more like data entrepreneurs and be actually getting more from insight and be evaluating insight versus cleaning data.
100%.
And right now, we have built this system that is all about data prep.
Yeah.
And it's because people are freaked out. And I don't even know, is this the right question? Are we asking the right question around just gathering data. To me, it's, are we gathering the right insight? Do we actually, right? Can we evaluate the right insight?
But if we agree that 90% of their time is spent on cleaning data sets, then we need to figure out how to remove that time so they can spend 90% of their, or 100% strategy. Of their time
right.
on insights and strategies. So my proposition is that there's going to be really bold brands like JPMorgan Chase who are going to go in and say, Notch will be my data collection practice, right? My data collection tag, pixel, whatever you want to call it. And we collect all that data. It's already clean. Mm-hmm. So literally our data science team, all they do is find insights. All they do is get on the phone with JPMorgan and their agency and say, put more money behind here. Decrease the importance of that. That audience is not responding well because we don't waste any time trying to clean up stuff or can we trust this data? No, it's all first party. It's all transparent. And we can, you know, go ahead and truly analyze it. So my big outlook is CMOs basically going to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Amazon and everyone and saying, you want my money? Great. Put my pixel on it. I need to collect data about my audience and how they're responding to my advertising.
And they're doing that through Notch. They're doing that through Notch.
Yeah.
So you have an agreement with any third-party site out there, mm-hmm. I assume, right, that if someone is interacting in a Notch UI,
yep.
that you have rights to all of that data.
So
is that how it works?
So the data belongs to the brand. It doesn't belong to us. We're literally just a conduit for data collection, and we reserve the right to create benchmarks and aggregate insights. You would do work with, you know, publisher X. We would mm-hmm. embed in that content piece, and mm-hmm. any data that comes, like the audience that came to that content piece, the type of audience, the way they engaged, the way mm-hmm. they felt, all of that would be passed on immediately to you and the publisher and the agency, so complete transparency, but you would own the data. And we would aggregate the data from publisher X, publisher Y, publisher whatever, and you'd all of a sudden you'd be left with this first-party data pool that you could then put into your CRM, put into your DMP, et cetera.
Anda, what you just said, no one's doing.
No, I know.
So hold on, but let's explain that. You are saying that a brand could actually own data from a publisher, from an audience, from audiences that came to a specific publisher.
Yep.
Versus a publisher giving you the data they want you to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
And
that's
also
the mic drop.
And also, the reason why publishers are okay with this, just for a second, there's some publishers out there that are definitely pushing back and have against transparency and this idea. But publishers are actually waking up to realize the more they embrace the transparency rhetoric and approach, the better it is for them because it's coming anyways, right? And if they truly trust their engagement, it makes sense for them to do this. The question they ask us is, can you please make sure that this data that we're going to give to JPMorgan Chase is not going to be put into a audience extension platform? Like, they don't want their data or their audience to be monetized. And yes, we do that. We promise them that because the data that we capture, we don't have a data exchange. We don't sell that data to competitors. We don't do anything with it. It just belongs to the brand.
So, but the brand could do something with it.
If they put it into their DMP, by that point, it's completely anonymized. I mean, we're GDPR compliant across every single state of America and Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really lead back to the publisher.
An interesting article that just came out from Sarah Fisher in her Axios Trends reports that is calling this the summer of ad tech acquisitions, right? So you alluded to, obviously, Datarama being purchased by Salesforce for over $800 million. Mm-hmm. You've got MediaMath raising over $200
million. IPG,
obviously one of the largest holding company groups, acquiring Acxiom for over $2 billion. This obviously is going to continue. As you're talking on and you're describing your kind of thought and vision as what's happening in the industry versus where you're positioned, and knowing that agencies need this support. Do you see Notch moving to a data agency that happens to make products?
We currently have kind of a customer success data nerd team that does that, and they've worked with your teams and hopefully helped interpret some data. But we're thinking a lot about how do you scale that? How do you actually even blow that up to take it to the next level? And so we're thinking about either building our own high-touch consultancy around analyzing data, not just our data, but maybe other first-party data that we can bring into our fold, or creating an ecosystem around Notch and just saying, hey, guys, here's our data. You know, do you want to go analyze it? And maybe we work with Kantar or Accenture, you know, the kind of more services heavy players. And so that's something that I'm very actively thinking about, and we'll probably, you'll see something from us over the next 6 months.
What is the industry missing? Like, we're so data obsessed to the point of just complete saturation. I mean, we have people come on and talk about data in all different types of ways on this show. What is the thing that we're not seeing? From your vantage point,
I always say, you know, there's this weird paradox where you have too much data and very little insight. And I think what's missing is that we're just taking data sets that have already been collected and banging our head against the wall, trying to make them, you know, talk to each other. When the truth is, things are changing so fast online that if you're not collecting data in real time and using it for predictive insights, then you're already behind. Like, if you're still trying to figure out how the data sets of 6 months ago fit with each other, then, you know, forget it. So I think what's the point that we're missing is kind of forget the data sets you've already collected. Just try to focus on how you streamline data collection so you can action on the stuff that the audience is trying to tell you now.
That's what I was just going to say to you. This is about insight forward.
Oh, yeah,
data
totally.
Back.
Yeah.
Right? It's data back. It's insight forward, which to me means analytics, mm-hmm. right? It to me means actually going back to your roots. It's math.
Yeah, I think it's actually marrying research and analytics in real time, which has not really been possible. And we're trying to obviously do that through what we do. Okay. And by the way, this is the other thing that I don't even know if it's going to blow up the internet. Probably not. But I don't really believe in benchmarks and indexes. Like, in today's world, I've just seen brands define their notions of success so radically differently. And content is not only variable, but as I mentioned, it's multivariate in its success. I feel like people should just kind of forget that and focus on who we are, what is our bottom line, and how do we get there through marketing, right?
Yes.
That's a huge insight. Because everyone's talking about the single source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is there is no single source of truth. You have to start going forward into insights versus worrying about these made up benchmarks we've created that aren't really actually benchmarks, right?
Data is directional.
That's 100% true.
But people have made data their strategy.
Yeah.
You know, and people are like, this says this, so we must do that. Why aren't we critically thinking about these things in aggregate and then borrowing from culture and borrowing from, you know, influence and being able to kind of create as opposed to dictate? I think it's very different.
And I also think it changes the mindset and the organization of a marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
It all of a sudden puts you into like thought sprints almost versus these long, drawn out plans.
I mean, data
that make no sense.
Data decks that are over 100 pages. Give me the executive summary. What is the nugget of information I need to move on? Let's go.
I think data has two functions. The first one is you put it to use immediately through platforms that can harness it to better target audiences, both with creative and distribute like media, right? Or the second is it surfaces 3 to 5 main insights that you can go and think about and act on in your next campaign or next strategy. But anything in between, if you're talking about, you know, even 10-page data decks, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's realistic.
Are you only digital in terms of like online media? Is Notch, can you Notch work on broadcast, you know, linear, other screens,
audio, voice,
OTT, voice, those types of places?
So now we're going to get to like how we take over the world answer. So we started off with literally just paid custom content. We then expanded into content syndication, then expanded into owned content, then social. So we actually can capture first-party data on a couple of the big walled gardens, which is crazy. Then expanded into email. And now we're expanding into being able to measure podcasts as well. And so we're building towards understanding what is being said in a podcast and then trying to basically figure out how do we meet the customer or the audience in a way to ask them for their actual feedback, but also study their behavior. So very much working on that, very much thinking about OTT. I think there will be a day when we figure out how to do offline as well. But yeah, the entire philosophy behind it is do it in a way that has the CMO's kind of interest in mind and do it in a way that collects first party data only.
I would love to see the temperature scale on this show.
Yeah,
I would too.
You'll be the first customer, the beta testers.
Yeah, we
for
should
it.
Be the beta testers. Yes. I don't know how Adlandia feels about that, but like it's coming at you, Adlandia.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to flip to our game that we play.
Okay.
It's called Kill by DIY. What would you kill? Okay. What would you kill? What would you buy? What would you do yourself? Not Notch. something else?
So I would kill any form of transactional advertising, to be honest. That would be mine. And that includes display, but it includes a few others. I absolutely hate being met with the really impersonal advertising of a brand. So I personally am a massive believer in content. I would probably buy most of our competitors and create a larger consortium that has a lot of power to compete with the Oracles and Adobes and Salesforces of the world. And I'm actually actively thinking about that. So hopefully they can hear me say that. And what was the last one?
What would you do yourself?
Oh, outside of Notch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, can I answer something radically different that's not at all in this space?
Of course. Please. Okay. That's what we like.
Well, so I've been thinking a lot about how professional women need a brand that caters, like a clothing brand that caters to them in a way that, you know, enables them to look amazing and high-powered and sassy and awesome from 7 a.m. to the 11 p.m. when that dinner ends. And so I've been thinking a lot about the fact that I don't really have those types of clothes. I have to go, like, or shoes that are comfortable but also kind of show my very spunky personality. So I've been thinking a lot about, like, what brand would do that, and I would probably do it myself.
Anda, thank you so much for coming
by. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
If people want to get in touch with you, buy your product, get more of your insight,
yeah,
how do they reach you?
Anda at knotch.com.
Anda, it's been awesome.
Thanks,
Thank
Anda.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anda. Fun conversation. And there is so much more. We like just hit the tip of the iceberg. So we're definitely going to have you back. I think we should do like a much bigger roundtable too with some of these folks who are thinking differently, talking differently about data. And I love that she said she wants to put together a consortium of ad tech that could go and compete against the Oracles. I think that actually is the new ad tech, that meaningful ad tech. And we've got to like strip away this like old skin of ad tech and actually kind of raise the people up who are thinking like Anda and who are doing things that actually make a difference and have a vision around what marketing of the future is going to look like and how it's going to speak and get back to their consumer needs the way we need to get back to our consumer needs.
Yeah, I love the idea of creative and strategic application of data. I mean, I think, you know, data for face value and the numbers is certainly valuable, and I think we will continue to need it. But the interpretation and how we use it is obviously where I think we all collectively agree today it needs to go. So
big thanks to our friends and family at Panoply, Dana,
our producer, Matt Turk, Andy Bowers,
Jacob Weisberg, and all of our friends and family in Adlandia.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.